Welcome to the Raise with Jesus podcast, 10 minutes every day where the life of Jesus meets yours. You've got your daily Bible reading for March 8th, 2019, looking at the first portion of Acts chapter 10. At Caesarea, there is a man named Cornelius, who is a centurion in what is called the Italian regiment. He was devout and God-fearing, as was his entire family. He gave generous gifts to the poor and always prayed to God. One day at about the ninth hour, he clearly saw a vision in which an angel of God came to him and said, "Cornelius." Cornelius stared at him in terror and replied, "What is it, Lord?" The angel told him, "Your prayers and your gifts to the poor have gone up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa to get a man named Simon, who is called Peter. He is staying as a guest with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea." When the angel who spoke with him had left, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier, who was one of his personal attendants. After explaining everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. The next day, as they were on their way and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray at about the sixth hour. He became hungry and wanted to eat, but while they were preparing the meal, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened and an object coming down. It was like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals and reptiles of the earth and birds of the sky. Then a voice said to him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Certainly not, Lord, for I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." Yet the voice called to him a second time, "What God has made clean, you must not continue to call unclean." This happened three times, and then the object was immediately taken up to heaven. While Peter was inwardly perplexed about what the vision he had seen might mean, just then the men who were sent by Cornelius arrived. They asked for directions to Simon's house and were standing at the gate. They called out, asking if Simon, who was also called Peter, was staying there as a guest. While Peter was still deep in thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "See, three men are looking for you. Now get up, go downstairs, and don't hesitate to go with them, because I have sent them." Peter went down to the men and said, "I am the one you are looking for. Why have you come?" They replied, "Cornelius the centurion is a righteous and God-fearing man who is highly respected by the whole Jewish nation. He was directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and to listen to what you have to say." So Peter invited them in and received them as guests. This is the word of our God. To understand what's going on here, you have to think back to Israel at Mount Sinai. When Moses is leading them out of Egypt, and they journey to Mount Sinai before they enter the Promised Land. And there at Mount Sinai, God gives his law. And when he gives his law, he gives it, obviously, to this specific nation of Israel. And he gives this law in basically three forms. First of all is the civic law. God establishes their nation and gives them the rules and the laws by which they are to govern their nation. Then God gives them their ceremonial law, which is how that nation is supposed to worship God, how they are to approach God, how they are to, what animals they're to sacrifice, what spiritual practices or religious practices they're supposed to carry out in their lives every day. And then finally, we've got God's moral law, which is summarized most clearly in the Ten Commandments. And we know that God's moral law is binding on all people of all time because it reflects what's written in the conscience, and all of the Ten Commandments are echoed, at least in principle, in the New Testament. Paul quotes from, for instance, the fourth commandment at the end of Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 6. The third commandment, you remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, is explained for us in both Colossians and early in the book of Hebrews, that God is talking about respecting and honoring the word of the Lord, and that we don't have to keep the specific Sabbath day because that has been fulfilled in Christ. And that's kind of the overarching point behind all this, that when we're talking about this vision that Peter has, it's primarily centered on the ceremonial law. the ceremonial law which governed their relationship to God and to one another, their religious life, really. And so the ceremonial law was predicated on this idea of what is clean and unclean. If something was clean, then it is permissible to eat. If something is unclean, that made you unclean. So, for instance, a house that has mold or mildew in the corner might be unclean after a while. And if you touched it, then you became unclean. A woman who was on her cycle was unclean. Different types of food or different types of animals were unclean, such as pork or shellfish. Different types of diseases and disorders were unclean. And we see that there's partly a public health aspect to this idea of clean and unclean, because God is protecting his nation from the sort of communicable diseases that could come up, like communicable skin diseases such as leprosy. And so, for instance, it's very shocking that in the New Testament, Jesus reaches out to the lepers and Jesus touches them, and they are made clean. Because normally, when somebody who is unclean touches something, that thing is unclean. And when somebody else touches that unclean thing, that person is also unclean. The uncleanness spreads. And the point that God was teaching with that whole concept of clean and unclean was that there's no way for any person to remain perpetually clean, but rather that cleanness must come from God. And so God is the one who must make you clean through the sacrifice of another, through the blood of an innocent victim. And, I mean, this pervaded every aspect of their lives, because it was all the way down to insects that were unclean, clean or unclean, dead bodies, and like roadkill would be clean or unclean. Actually, that'd all be unclean. And the uncleanness would spread. And so God obviously, to some degree, is concerned about the health of his people, but he's using that as a picture for their spiritual health, that they cannot be clean enough to approach God. Because that's the point. If you're unclean, you cannot come to worship. If you're unclean, you need to come and offer a sacrifice in order to make yourself clean again before God. And the point of all that was to point the believer ahead to Christ. Because these sacrifices were a picture of the coming Lord, the perfect making the imperfect, the clean making the unclean clean again. And so these sacrifices were supposed to be a reminder of God's promises and a way that God communicated to his people that there is one coming who will make you clean forever. And so Peter sees this vision of all these animals that he can't touch and can't eat because they would make him ceremonially unclean. And the application that God is going to be making to that in verse 15, what God has made clean, you must not continue to call unclean. And that happens three times. And as Peter will see here in this chapter, immediately after the vision, these Gentiles come, and they come asking for him. And they come asking for him to come preach to them. Normally, a Gentile would be unclean, but a Gentile believer would be admitted to the outer court of the temple. They would be permitted to participate in the synagogue worship in a limited fashion, sitting at the back. And God is making the point that Jesus died for the sins of all. He fulfilled the moral law. As a Jewish man, he also was obligated to, and he kept, the Jewish legal law and the Jewish ceremonial law, which governed their worship life. So Jesus completed and fulfilled that entire law. And so God is teaching Peter, and by extension teaching us, do not call unclean what God has made clean. God is teaching Peter that he can go and preach to these Gentiles that God's church is far wider than simply the nation of Israel and simply the nation of those who had been made clean or maintained their cleanliness. Because if you're unclean, you would be put outside of the nation and you weren't really considered to be part of the nation until you were made clean again. So what should we learn from this? Obviously, number one, that we have tremendous Christian freedom when it comes to the food that we eat, but more so, Point two, that this Jesus, the spotless, perfect Lamb of God, has taken away your sin and mine. He's made us clean enough for God, and he has made us so that we can approach God freely and pray to God on our own, and pray even to God as the way we would talk to our own Father. He is the one who has made the unclean clean. You can find us Sunday morning at 2250 South Hollandsvania Road in Maumee. You can also check out our YouTube live stream. Just search for Resurrection Maumee, or find us on Facebook. Just also search for Resurrection Maumee. And a reminder that this coming Sunday we have Friendship Sunday, including a breakfast potluck. God bless your day.